It's something like that. Fuck it, then. He'll go to Harvard on his uncle's nickel. And does. Harvard's all Dinky told them, and more. Drama, debate, Harvard Crimson, mathematical odd fellows, and of course, the capper, Phi Beta Crapper. He even saves Unc a few bucks by graduating early. He is in the south of France, the war long over, when a telegram reaches him, Uncle dead, stop, return home soonest, stop. The key word here seemed to be, stop. God knows it was one of those watershed moments. He went home, yes, and he gave comfort where comfort was due, yes, but instead of stepping into the furniture business, Ted decides to stop his march toward financial success and start his march toward financial obscurity. In the course of the man's long story, Roland's quartet never once hears Ted Brodigan blame his deliberate anonymity on his outre talent or on his moment of epiphany. This is one valuable talent that no one in the world wants. And God, how he comes to understand that. For one thing, his wild talent, as the pulp science fiction magazines sometimes call it, is actually physically dangerous under the right circumstances. Or the wrong ones. In 1935, in Ohio, it makes Ted Brodigan a murderer. He has no doubt that some would feel the word is too harsh, but he will be the judge of that in this particular case, thank you oh so very much. And he thinks the word is apt. It's Akron, and it's a blue summer dusk, and kids are playing kick the can at one end of Stassi Avenue and stickball at the other, and Brodigan stands on the corner in a summerweight suit, stands by the pole with a white stripe painted on it, the white stripe that means the bus stops here. Behind him is a deserted candy store with a blue NRA eagle in one window and a whitewashed message in the other that says, "They're killing the little man."